to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Comedy coming up in this hour. Later on, The Eddie Cantor Show from 1945. But first, an episode of the Martin and Lewis program with Dean and Jerry and special guest singer Dorothy Kirsten from October 14th, 1949 on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company brings you transcribed The Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Dorothy Kirsten, featuring Flo McMichael, Sheldon Leonard, Ben Alexander, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin.
Night and day.
Under the sun.
Beneath the moon and under the sun? What's the matter? Ain't you got a house?
Well, now we find Dean and Jerry in the new nightclub they're planning to open. They seem to have everything they need now except performers, money, and customers.
Jerry, I'm awful worried about our club.
Maybe the club needs some good-looking women. That's what it needs.
Jerry, you're always thinking about women. You know what Kipling said? Women are just a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
Yeah, but they're put together so nicely. Dean, you know what I think we ought to have in our floor show is girls.
Yeah, girls are fun. I know, I read a lot.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Dean. I've already taken care of the feminine department for our nightclub.
You mean you've hired a fan dancer?
No, an opera singer. Miss Dorothy Kirsten. And she'll be here any minute.
Dorothy Kirsten, but Jerry, she doesn't sing in nightclubs. Does she know that this is a nightclub?
Well, no. I thought it was sort of an indoor Hollywood bowl.
Ah, but Jerry is...
Hey, Dean, look who just came in.
Hello, boys. How's the nightclub coming?
Well, it's our cigarette girl, Tondaleo Hockenhaven.
Well, hello, Tondaleo. How are the cigarettes going?
Beanie, I don't want to be a cigarette girl. I just want to be near you.
You do?
Yeah. I can't stifle my emotion any longer. Oh, Beanie, will you bite the lobe of my ear just once?
What's that? I don't understand.
He doesn't understand. I gotta have a long talk with this boy.
I think I'll go now. I have an appointment.
Oh, don't go, Deanie. I came all the way over here to see you. Aren't you glad to see little Tondaleo? Well, aren't you? Well, Deanie boy, say something.
Hello, baby.
Oh, Deanie.
I'm leaving.
Oh, Jerry, please, don't.
Oh, Deanie, why can't we be alone? Why must your little boy always tag along? Oh, Deanie, hold me tight. Let me look in your big brown eyes. Or are they blue? Or are they gray?
They're chartreuse. Now, please, Tondaleo, we've got to get things organized a bit. You see, Miss Dorothy Kirsten is coming to sing in our club, and I don't...
Dorothy Kirsten? But why? Why spend all that money when you got me?
You mean you sing?
Do I sing? A little arpeggio, please. Forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. There, how was that?
Tondaleo, darling. We have a message for you.
Yes, Tondaleo, darling. Why don't you go to Arthur Murray?
But Arthur Murray's a dancing teacher. He just tell me where to put my feet.
I know that. Maybe he'll tell you to put one of your feet in your mouth. Goodbye. Gee, Dean, I think we ought to look for a new cigarette girl. Tondaleo is beginning to fall for you.
Oh, never mind. I'm worried about Dorothy Kirsten coming here. I'm telling you, Jerry, when she sees this joint, she'll quit. Besides, she isn't the kind of an act you want in a nightclub. She's too classy. We want something, well, a little more...
Speak no further, friends. Your troubles are over. It's me, your old friend, Silky. I am now a theatrical agent, D. Lukes. I can get you any kind of act that you want. In fact, I've been lining all day up talent.
I've been lining all day up talent.
Yeah.
That's as bad as up the street, the soldiers are coming down.
Come on in, group. Come on. What a cast.
Now, hold on there, Soapy. We don't want to have...
Take it easy, friend. I represent nothing but high-class talent. Just get a load of this little lady here, Miss Fifi La Fifi. What a dancer. I tell you, the fellas go wild. She moves muscles she ain't got. Tell you what, go ahead, Fifi. Dance for the gentleman. Hit it, boys.
Well, that's very nice, but...
She had one left over.
Look, Soapy, that's not the kind of act we want in this place. We want refined acts. That's why we hired the opera singer, Miss Dorothy Kirsten.
Now, please, boy, you are wounding little old Soapy. Now, let's get down to business. Here is another great act for a nightclub. Here is Think a Drink Shapiro.
Think a Drink Shapiro?
Yes, that is I, Think a Drink Shapiro. Go ahead, think of a drink, and I'll pour it out of my magic cocktail shaker.
Okay. A martini.
A martini, righto. Here you are, a martini. Taste it.
Okay. Wait a minute. This is nothing but 7-Up.
I know. I haven't got a liquor license.
Oh, what a performer, huh? Well, what do you say, boys? Is it a deal?
No.
Please, Soapy, go away. Dorothy Kirsten will be here any minute.
Yes,
and we'd like...
Soapy, we don't want any characters like you hanging around. She might get the wrong impression of this place. And we want her to... Hey, what are you doing behind the bar? Put those bottles down.
But, Dean, I...
Jerry, you know you've never been behind a bar in your life.
I know, but, Dean, I'm experimenting. I'm making up a special kind of drink to serve our customers.
Oh, well, that's different. Special kind of drink can make this place famous. Well, what are you putting in this little drink of yours?
Well, first I put in a little Cuban rum. Then I put in a little West Indian rum. Then I put in a pinch of African rum. Then a little French rum. Then a little Brazilian rum. Then I take a little jigger of Mexican rum. I use 85 different kinds of rum in this drink.
85 different kinds of rum in one drink? Well, what's it called?
Gin Fizz. And now to clear the air, Dean Martin will sing Toot Toot Tootsie. From the picture, Jolson sings again and again and again and again and again. And ooh, is he making money?
Toot toot tootsie, goodbye. Toot toot tootsie, don't cry. The choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how sad it makes me. Kiss me, tootsie, and then do it over again. Watch for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you know I'm in jail. You're calling, toot, toot, tootsie, don't cry. Toot, toot, tootsie, goodbye. Watch for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you know I'm in jail. You're calling, toot, toot, tootsie, don't cry. Toot, toot, tootsie, goodbye.
Hey, that was very nice, Dean.
Well, thanks, Jerry.
Gee, I sure hope Dorothy Kirsten will show up here at the club. She's just what we need. Class. She'll bring us the carriage trade.
But, Jerry, a nightclub is no place for babies.
Dean, sometimes I think I need you like a hole in the head.
Jerry, you've got a hole in your head.
I wondered where the light was coming from when my mouth was closed.
You know, Jerry, I'm excited about meeting Miss Kirsten. If I can trade ideas about music with her, it'll do our team good.
If you can trade bodies with her, it'll do our team even more good.
Now, you don't understand, Jerry. You see, we musicians, we live in a world of our own where we speak only of cadenzas, arpeggios, fortissimos, and take fives.
I beg your pardon. You are Martin and Lewis, yeah?
Yeah.
I am Professor Rover von Bagel.
Your name is Rover?
Yeah. My parents wanted a dog. But you have written a letter to do Miss Dorothy Kirsten of the Metropolitan Opera.
Don't tell me you're Dorothy Kirsten. Dean, get a chair for the lady.
Dummkopf, I'm not a lady.
Then you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Gentlemen, I am here to inform you I will not permit Miss Kirsten to sing in a Schwingchein like this.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I don't mind the place, and you know I also sing a little bit.
Yeah, but such a little bit.
Now, Miss Kirsten only appears in reputable opera houses. You see, her music is only by Tchaikovsky, Mussorgsky, and Verdi.
They must be beginners. Do you know any of those songwriters?
Yeah, now and then they come in for a free beer.
Tchaikovsky, Mussorgsky, and Verdi are dead.
And I don't want them coming in here anymore. They'll give the place a bad name.
No, I will not permit Miss Kirsten to work here. You may as well get that through your cough.
Cough? What's that?
Cough? Oh, that's head.
Ja, ja, Lampfmann. Ist das nicht ein Schnitzelbank?
Ja, das ist nicht das Schnitzelbein.
I do China. I do China. I do China Schnitzelbank.
Wait a minute. You're being so impolite. The rest of us here don't understand French.
He don't understand music either. But he don't understand opera.
Opera? What's so tough about opera? I could be an opera singer.
Huh? You are opera singer? Well, you have to weigh 300 pounds. You only weigh 150. And half of that is Jerry Lewis.
Listen, Dean's a good singer. He's my partner, and I'll say that all the time like it was true.
You just don't know me. But for your information, I once sang the part of the devil in Carmen.
The devil is in the opera Faust.
He sings like the devil in any opera.
Von Bagel, you talk like a big man, but what do you know about music?
What do I know about music? Why, let me tell you, I was a child prodigy.
Jay, what's a child prodigy?
Well, that's a kid that prodges.
Oh, come on, let's can all the chatter. Is Miss Kirsten coming over or not?
Well, she will be here, but she will not sing. Ah, here is my liebchen now.
Dean, it's Dorothy Kirsten.
Herr Martin, may I present Miss Dorothy Kirsten?
How do you do, Mr. Martin?
Hello, baby.
Miss Kirsten, I have told these people you will not sing in such a low-class club.
Herr von Bagel, I sing everywhere where people love music. La 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 la.
Bravo! Say, with a little training, she could be another Vaughn Monroe. On second thought, who needs two Vaughn Monroes?
Oh, Jerry, I love music, Miss Kirsten. In fact, I've often dreamed of becoming an opera singer.
Well, that's wonderful, Dean, but it's hard work. Most opera singers have to start at the bottom.
And for Dean, we'd have to dig a hole and start even deeper.
This fellow has a split personality, and we are getting the worst half.
Miss Kirsten, how about letting me sing some opera with you?
Perhaps you know Samson, Delilah?
Samson and Delilah? Sure, wonderful couple. Did they ever get married?
Yeah, they had a double wedding with Lum and Abner.
I'd sure like to sing with you, Dorothy.
Well, I'd love to, Dean. You know, all this summer I sang with Nelson Eddy.
Here she goes, from shortening bread to ravioli.
I'm sure that Dean and I could sing together. Besides Nelson, I've sung with Lawrence Tibbett, Lawrence Melchior, and now Frank Sinatra.
Well, how do you like singing with Sinatra?
Oh, he's just like Lawrence Melchior, condensed by Reader's Digest.
Well, what do you say we try a number?
All right, Dean.
Now, if you are going to sing with him, I leave. Miss Kirsten, auf Wiedersehen. Und to you, gentlemen, Achtung!
He missed it. Well, Miss Kirsten, can we hear a song from you?
I'd be delighted. Let's see, what shall it be? Care nome, non più andrai, un bel dì vedremo.
Please, Miss Kirsten, watch your language. The place will get raided.
Jerry, that's Italian. Huh, Signorina Kirsten.
Sì, Signor Martino.
Well, doggone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely voice of Miss Dorothy Kirsten.
People were looking at me funny.
Jerry, don't compare your voice with Dorothy's. After all, she's an opera star.
Opera? Who understands opera? It's all sung in Italian.
Hey, what do you mean? What's so bad about singing in Italian?
Oh, pardon me, Ezio.
Well, Jerry, some operas just happen to be written in Italian.
Yeah, I know. But if I wrote an opera, I'd do it in English. And I'd have a very simple story. Maybe something about our nightclub.
Hey, that's a good idea. It'll be just like Carmen.
The opera Lombardo.
I bet that's very funny at the Metropolitan. Listen. Here's the way our opera might go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, the National Broadcasting Company is proud to present an opera by Jerry Lewis. This new American composition is entitled Il Trovatore Goes to a Nightclub, or How to Get Huckled for a Buck. Dean Martin plays the part of Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis plays the part of Dean Martin. Neither man felt equipped to play the part of Dorothy Kirsten. The scene opens in a restaurant with Dean and Jerry as singing waiters.
I've got the spaghetti and meatballs ready to cook.
You should have. You've been working on the spaghetti for 3 whole days.
Yes, but it's all your fault that it took so long. You made me go through each piece of spaghetti with a pipe cleaner.
the front door of the club opens, and in sweeps the beautiful Miss Kirsten. She sits down at a table. She should have waited for a chair.
Oh, I'm the Princess Rhea Rita. I'm traveling incognita. Fate does play such horrible quirks. My life's in the hands of these two jerks.
Here's the menu.
And now, miss, what else would you like to have?
I'd like some of that over there.
Where?
There.
There?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, madam, but that's my partner, Dean.
Fair maid, it is I, Dino Martini, at your service.
Kiss me, kiss me again.
Jerry, I didn't mean you.
How did I know? This is the first time I've ever been in an opera.
And so the two lovers sing a love song together while Jerry sadly watches from a corner table. Little does Miss Kirsten, really Princess Rhea Rita, know that Jerry is actually the Prince Romanoff, heir to the Romanoff diamonds in the Beverly Hills restaurant.
Dino, my dearest, do you love me?
Oh, yes, fair maid. I would lay down my partner's life for you.
Oh, Dino, I'm so glad. And now I have a confession to make, a true confession.
Don't tell him. I'll get you to Sam Goldwyn and we'll film it.
But before she can confess, the door of the nightclub flies open and a sinister-looking man says,
"Don't move anybody. I've got you all covered with this gun. I'm not going to waste any time with you."
What's the matter with you?
I'm parked in a five-minute zone.
Watch out for him. He's dangerous. He's my husband.
He's your husband?
Yes, he's my husband, and I'm his wife.
Yes, she is my wife, and I am her husband.
You two are married?
Let me explain. We were married when I was 3 years old. Then he left me for a younger woman.
Well, then fear him not. We will protect you. Jerry, lad, if bullets begin to fly, do your duty. Get in front of me.
Oh, where can I hide? Where can I hide?
It's a shame I didn't go through the spaghetti with a bigger pipe cleaner.
Princess, this gun is pointing at you.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Is das nicht ein Gun that shoots?
Ja, das ist ein Gun that shoots.
Ha, and so is this ein Gun that shoots. You got me!
You got me, too!
I'm dying, and I'm dying, too.
You go ahead. Die first. Be my guest.
Well, Miss Kirsten, that's the first act. Do you think we could be an opera?
Yeah, Miss Kirsten, do you think we might get with the Metropolitan?
Frankly, I don't think you could get with Prudential.
Well, Dorothy, it's a cinch. I can't do opera with you, but how about singing a popular tune with me?
Good, Dean. I think we'll be on much safer ground.
Let's take an old-fashioned walk. I'm just bursting with talk. What a tale could be told if we went for an old-fashioned walk.
Let's take a stroll through the park, down a lane where it's dark, and the heart that's controlled may relax on an old-fashioned walk. I know for a couple who seem to be miles apart.
There's nothing like walking and having a heart to heart.
I know a girl who declined, couldn't make up her mind, couldn't make up her mind.
She was was wrapped up in soul,
coming home from an old-fashioned war.
If your girl has declined
and won't make up her mind,
what you need is a heart-to-heart talk.
Take a stroll through the park,
down a lane where it's dark,
and go for an old-fashioned walk.
Thank you, Miss Dorothy Kirsten, and good night, everyone.
See you all next week. Good night, folks. Bye.
The Martin and Lewis Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 14th of October, 1949 on NBC. It would be in the next year that Dorothy Kirsten would co-star in her first motion picture, Mr. Music, alongside Bing Crosby. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Eddie Cantor Show, originating from Mitchell Field in New York, a military installation that had a lot of action in terms of radio performances during the Second World War as a way to boost the morale of the men stationed there, like the Spotlight Band series, a national program broadcast from there in 1943. Even later that same year, the Full Speed Ahead show on Mutual brought forth a program called Mitchell Field Men of the Air, which was a musical produced by members of the Army Air Corps personnel stationed there. This next episode of The Eddie Cantor Show was first heard from there on NBC on June 13, 1945. And a brief producer's note, do not adjust your radio set. This is the finest copy I was able to find of this particular broadcast, though there are many volume changes throughout the program.
This is Eddie Cantor. It's Wednesday and time for another show. Time for a few laughs, a few songs. The men of our armed forces, bringing the fight closer and closer to the Japanese homeland, will be hearing this broadcast too. But when the gags and the tunes are over, they'll want something important. They'll want assurance from us that we're backing them up. Ladies and gentlemen, show the men in the Pacific that there's a bond between us. Buy one.
For the 1st Air Force, with headquarters at Mitchell Field, Long Island, New York, Bristol Myers, makers of Salapatica, Truchet, and Minute Rub, in cooperation with the and Allied Industries, dedicate this program to Uncle Sam and his appeal to buy more war bonds to help the war effort. And now, here's the star of our show, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, fellas and girls, and Don.
Yeah.
What a thrill I had here at the airport watching planes take off. I saw a C-47 leave the field at 200 miles an hour. I saw an A-26 leave doing 400 miles an hour. And before I left, I saw a plane here in the field doing 450 miles an hour.
My. Do they have anything faster than that leaving here?
Don, did you ever see one of these guys with enough points to get out? Want to see something fast?
Huh? Oh. Well, I see what you mean. Eddie, I understand that some of the men are also released when they reach the age of 40.
That's right, Don. I met one of the fellows this morning who had just turned 40 and got his discharge. He was crying, and I asked him why. I said, why are you crying? Tomorrow you'll be out of the army, you'll be in civilian clothes, you'll have nothing to do but run after beautiful girls. And the guy said, yeah, but why didn't they let me out while I could still catch them?
Oh, Eddie, you can't be. Haven't you heard the saying, life begins at 40?
How would I know, Don? Come back in 6 years and ask.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you implying that you're only 34 years old?
Now, Don, you were at my birthday party. You counted the candles on the cake, didn't you? Didn't you?
Eddie, there were 34 candles on the piece I ate.
Go away.
And another thing, Eddie. I happen to know that you and I had celebrated your 31st wedding anniversary just last Saturday.
That's right.
Well, do you mean to say that at the time you and Ida were married, that you were only 3 years old?
Oh, certainly, Don, certainly. We eloped.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we eloped. I got a ladder, carried her down from her high chair, slipped a teething ring on her finger, helped her into my carriage,
and we were off to Niagara Falls. Don't be so statistical. You know, after all, Don, I'm not like most actors. I happen to be 34 years old, and if I were 35, I'd be the first one to admit it. Believe me, Don.
Well,
believe me.
Whatever you say, Eddie, but I had no idea that you were younger than Benny. You know, Jack admits to 36.
Jack Benny admits to 36?
That's right.
I'll tell you something, Don. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Stradivarius violin Jack has that's 150 years old?
Yeah, what about it?
I happen to know Jack Benny got his flat feet pacing up and down waiting for Mr. Stradivarius to finish it. Oh.
Well, now, Eddie, I'm not the least bit interested in how old you and Jack are, but I thought it was wonderful that you and I have celebrated 31 years of married life. Really, yeah. I did. Now, maybe you could give these young fellows out here some advice, huh?
Well, Don, this may sound strange, but the man who gave me the formula for a happy married life happens to be Georgie Jessel.
Georgie Jessel?
Georgie Jessel. He told me to follow two rules. One, when you get married, tell your wife you have to have one free evening a week to go out with the boys.
And what's the other rule?
Don't waste that free evening going out with the boys.
Eddie, how in the world can you stand there joking when these fellas are waiting for advice? Can't you see what a serious bunch they are? Just look.
Serious?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so if you could see where they go to have fun. Lee's Hempstead Palace. For the benefit of the rest of the public, it's a Chinese restaurant.
Yes, Eddie, yes, I know. I was in that restaurant.
Yeah?
Gee, with the dim lights and all the smoke, you can hardly see to pick up your food.
Don, when these boys go to Lee's, it isn't chop suey they want to pick up.
Oh, gee, Eddie, I...
Don't leave now, soldier, don't leave.
Eddie, you know, I love Chinese
food.
You
love Chinese food?
Oh, yes, I like steaks and chops. I like dairy products.
All right, Don. We know you like to eat. Of course, he's only fooling, fellas. Don is a very light eater.
Right.
The minute it gets light outside, he starts to eat. You should see how much Chinese food this guy puts away. Instead of chopsticks, they bring him two baseball bats.
Well, tell me, Eddie, where do the boys eat when they're here in camp?
Well, a lot of the boys get in line at the post cafeteria for breakfast.
See? Where do they go for dinner?
By the time they get their breakfast, they've had dinner.
They really have to wait in line for...
Wait a minute, they...
They have to wait in line for breakfast that long, Eddie?
Listen, Don, do they have to wait that long? Let me tell you something. A lieutenant ordered an egg for breakfast the other day, and by the time it was his turn, the egg he ordered had hatched, turned into a rooster, and was standing in line in back of the lieutenant waiting for his breakfast. I'm quite a frank chap, am I not? Don, we've spoken enough about what the boys do here at camp. I'd like to give you an idea of the work these boys are doing overseas.
Oh, you have some information about that, Eddie?
Yes, Don. I was listening to the shortwave radio, and I want to make a report on the news I heard coming out of Japan.
All right. Take it away, Tokyo.
Flashy flash. Very good news. War Department has asked me to make two announcements. Number one, all men having enough points will immediately be released from the army. Number two, all men released from the army will be put in the Navy. Now then, in regard to new point system for Japanese Navy, all Nipponese sailors will receive 2 points for each month's service overseas. Underseas, 4 points. Many citizens are trying to leave Tokyo. Japanese people warned to stay off trains and remain in their house during air raids. That way you will leave Tokyo quicker. Oh, flashy flash. I just received news, latest naval battle. American naval losses twice as much as Japan. Japanese lost 10 ships. Americans lost 20 torpedoes.
Eddie, they're ready for the special event on tonight's program. The high command here at Mitchell Field has established contact with a plane flying over New York, and they want you to interview the pilot from here.
Okay. Hand me that gadget I talked to, Don. Here, I'll try it.
Eddie Cantor speaking. Come in, pilot. Eddie Cantor speaking. Come in, pilot.
How do you do?
Why, it's Bert Gordon, the mad Russian.
Russian, I was supposed to talk with a real pilot. What are you doing up in a plane?
Confirmed.
Yes?
I have spent thousands and thousands of hours in the air.
Flying?
No, breathing.
Never mind. If you're an airplane, what took you so long to answer?
I am flying over Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, watching the ball game. What a thrill. They just knocked one over the fence.
They just knocked one over the fence. A baseball?
No, a spectator.
Oh, let's end this conversation, Russian. I don't enjoy talking to a moron.
Let's keep talking. I do.
Russian, I'll expect you here at Mitchell Field in 10 minutes. Where are you now?
I am flying over the Statue of Liberty.
Over the Statue of Liberty? How low are you flying?
Pretty low. I'm flying about, ouch! Careful with that torch, honey.
Russian, I ask you to stop clowning. I want you to come back here right away. Can you find the field?
I'm not sure. Right now, I'm doing some blonde flying.
Not blonde flying. You mean blind flying.
You fly what you want, and I'll fly what I want.
Russian, let me get this. You say you've got a girl in an army plane? Don't you know the Air Force has never heard of such a thing?
Should I tell them?
Russian, you fool. You've broken army regulations. You and that girl will be court-martialed, and next week, instead of being with me on my program, you'll be locked in a cell with that blonde.
I'll be so disappointed.
And now, our singing star on the program, fellas, lovely Nora Martin. Nora, I want you to meet the boys here at Mitchell Field. You know, they're men who appreciate art. They're men who appreciate drama. They're men who appreciate literature.
Then why are they staring at my legs?
They're men. And it took 14 days. The Battle of the Bulge at Bastogne, the beach at Normandy, and those terrible months of starvation and torture in the concentration camp at Dachau. What other sacrifices must they make before we at home realize how small is our share in this war? Instead of drafting your money, you're being asked to enlist it. In the name of American sportsmanship, in the name of liberty and justice for all, how can we do less?
Men, we're very proud to have as our guest tonight that lovely MGM star currently appearing with Van Johnson in their latest hit, Between Two Women. Here she is, Marilyn Maxwell.
All right, Don. All right, Don. She's on. You met Miss Maxwell. Stop applauding.
Who's applauding? I'm just fanning myself to keep cool.
Well, Don, you're wasting your time. You won't make a hit with Miss Maxwell. You're no Van Johnson.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Eddie. Don reminds me a little bit of Van. In fact, there's something about him that moves me.
I agree with you. He looks like a moving van. Yeah, he's... but this food... Listen, this food shortage will thin him out. In fact, today, Marilyn, I heard a joke about the poultry shortage here.
What was it, boy?
Well... Oh, putting in your own words, boy, huh? Well, I was talking to a colonel in the army, and he says he's afraid to pass a butcher shop on account of the eagles on his shoulders. I don't know, I thought I might have a joke there. Don't you get it, Marilyn? There's a poultry shortage, and the colonel is afraid to pass a butcher shop because on the colonel's shoulders, there's an eagle.
Well, whatever he has on his shoulders, it certainly laid an egg.
All right. A colonel told it to me. You can't go around hitting colonels. Don,
Don, I want you to bring in Harry Bonzel's baby. Will you do that?
Sure.
And Marilyn, I do want to thank you now for taking care of the baby on the trip.
Oh, that's all right. I'm crazy about the little fella. Harry Bonzel brought him over to my house when he was only a couple of months old. And what a fuss he made over me. He sat in my lap for hours.
The baby?
No, Harry Bonzel.
Here he is, Eddie, a chip off the old block.
Well, Eddie Cantor Bonzel Jr. Well, little fella, how are you enjoying your trip east, huh, Junior?
Goo. Goo.
Eddie.
Yeah?
I wonder what he's trying to say with his goo, goo.
Popeye's been busy since we came to New York. So Marilyn Maxwell has been taking care of me. Every time I cry, she kisses me. Then I stop crying. Mission accomplished. Popeye's has really been stepping out. Last night he went to the Stork Club. I thought it was funny when he came into the room all dressed up and said, I'm going to the Stork. Used to be vice versa. He's been going out every night. I'll bet he'll be afraid to go out tonight after that one about the colonel with the eagles and the butcher shop. Some joke. Don Wilson flew here to Mitchell Field to take my old man's place. That Mr. Wilson made aviation history. It's the first time a plane ever flew a blimp. Oh, well. I better get back to sleep. Tomorrow's my big day. They're teaching me to meet Mayor LaGuardia. When I meet the mayor, all I have to do is stand up straight, bend over, and let him kiss me. Oh, boy. Cute fella, Fiorello.
Yes, Don.
Eddie, who do you think came all the way out here to Mitchell Field just to see you?
Well, I've had a lot of... Who this time?
Alan Young.
Alan Young? You mean that up-and-coming comedian who's heard every week? That talented youngster who critics predict will surpass the leading radio comics of today?
That's the fella.
Get him out of here. He's got talent. Get him out of here. Lock the door, Don. Lock the door.
It's too late, Eddie. It's too late. Here he is, Alan Young.
Hello, Alan. I'm delighted to see you.
Mr. Cantor, you appeared on my radio program. That's why I thought I should come over here to your program tonight.
Oh, you wanted to reciprocate.
No, retaliate.
Why, Alan, you sound as if you were mad at me.
Well, I don't think it's fair for you to come on my program, be such a big hit, and steal the whole show.
Why, I wouldn't do a thing like that, Alan. Hmm? There's nothing I love better than another comedian. Especially a young one.
You mean you really want to help me?
Why, certainly, Alan. I do it. In fact, I'll give you a joke that'll be the biggest laugh you ever heard when you use it on your program.
You will? What's the joke?
Well, you say the poultry shortage is so bad that a colonel is afraid to pass a butcher shop because of the eagles on his shoulders.
That's no joke.
No?
No, because colonels are brave. And they would not be afraid to pass a butcher shop. Even if it was raining. There's only one thing in the whole world a colonel would be afraid to do.
And what is that?
Tell that joke. Well, look, Alan, I was just trying to help a young fella out.
Yeah, well, I didn't come here to be a comedian, Mr. Kenner. I came because I need some advice.
Yeah.
I had a fight with my girlfriend, Betty Dittenpfeffer.
A fight with your girl? Yeah. Why, what seems to be the matter?
Oh, the car was parked in a lonely road, and I did something I shouldn't, and she flew off the handle.
Wait a minute. You did something you shouldn't, and she flew off the handle?
Yeah. I stepped on the starter while she was cranking the car, and she flew off the handle.
Well, you really came here to retaliate. Alan, what makes you think I can help you make up with your girl?
Well, you just celebrated your 31st wedding anniversary. You certainly ought to know all about handling women.
Well, Alan, when I was your age, I had a fight with Ida, she'll tell you. And to get her interested in me again, I went out with those Zickville girls to make her jealous.
Did it work? Did you make up?
Did I make... Alan, that basketball team we've got living with us doesn't belong to Bassa. Look, if you want to make your girl jealous, I have just the right party for you. Here's Marilyn Maxwell. This girl can solve your problem right here on the radio.
Gosh, and to think I've been going to Mr. Anthony.
Yep. Marilyn, this is an emergency. Alan Young wants to make his girl jealous. Will you go out with him tonight?
Why, certainly, Alan, but I'll have to break a date with one of these airmen here. What time will you pick me up?
You're going to break a date with one of these airmen to go out with me?
Uh-huh.
You may have to pick me up.
Alan, just how do you want me to help you make your girl jealous?
Well, I know what restaurant my girl's going to tonight, and if she could see us there together, it'd burn her up, really. Especially if I were holding your hand like this.
Alan.
Well, don't think I'm a wolf, Miss Maxwell. I'm just holding your hand and looking at you like this to help me forget my girl.
By the way, who is your girl? What's her name?
Her name?
Right.
Gosh, it's worked already. Well, Alan, if you really want to make your girl jealous, just holding Miss Maxwell's hand won't be enough. Why don't you, kiss her? Go ahead, try to kiss her. Go on. All right. Miss Maxwell, will you kiss me on the forehead?
Well, if you want me to kiss you on the forehead, why are your lips all puckered up?
When you touch me, I'm going to jump. Go ahead. Kiss her, Marilyn. Kiss her, Alan. Get together. Oh. Go ahead. Alan. 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 Do you think I got to kiss anyone on his program last night? They let me shake hands with the drummer. That was it. All right, Alan.
Wow.
Boy, if my girl Betty's listening in, this ought to burn her up. Burn her up. You don't look like you just stepped out of an igloo yourself.
Oh, that was fine, Alan. Now, if you really want to make your girl jealous, just kiss me like that in the restaurant tonight.
Tonight? I won't be able to kiss you like that again for 2 weeks. Look, Alan, if you really want to make up with Betty, why don't you take her out tonight? Take her to some nice place for dinner like Lee's Hempstead Palace, huh? No, nothing doing. Last time I took her to a Chinese restaurant, they embarrassed me.
Embarrassed you?
The waiter handed me a pair of knitting needles. Knitting needles? They were chopsticks. You were supposed to eat with them. Gosh, and I sat there knitting her a sweater. Instead of eating, you sat there knitting your girl a sweater? You must be pretty dumb.
Dumb, huh? You should see her in it.
Oh, go back to Betty Jean. Marilyn.
Yes, Eddie?
I wanted to ask you about your trip east. Are you here on business or pleasure?
Well, I've been working pretty hard in pictures and doing a lot of hospitals. So I came to New York to see my vocal teacher about my voice and to take a rest.
Oh, you came here for your voice and a rest?
Uh-huh.
You take your voice, I'll take the rest.
Yep. Oh, so you finally made it, huh, Russian? Russian, please don't embarrass me here tonight. Certainly you've heard the name Maxwell. That's famous all over Hollywood.
Maxwell? This is what Jack Benny used to run around with.
No. This isn't what Jack Benny used to run around with. You must be crazy.
He must be crazy.
Oh, Russian, you're mixed up. My name is Maxwell, but I'm not a car.
That's right. And she's not Maxwell, the coffee.
She could keep me awake.
Say, Russian.
Yes, I'm listening.
All right. Russian, when you interrupted us, Miss Maxwell was telling me that she came here to see her vocal teacher.
Now, that's a coinkydinky.
Yeah.
I, personally, am a vocal teacher.
Russian, you say that you're a vocal teacher?
Most dubious. Yep. You see...
Yes?
I am teaching Frank Sinatra how to sing. Every day I am taking him to the seashore, and like the great Demophiluses, I am putting pebbles in his mouth.
You put pebbles in Sinatra's mouth to help you sing?
No, to keep him from blowing away, blowing away.
Oh, you're no teacher.
Russian, whom did you ever teach to sing?
My dear Miss Meatball.
No, no! Maxwell.
So sorry. Maxie, let me tell you something.
Yeah?
This you won't believe because it's a lie. Only recently, MGM called me in to teach Ingrid Bergman how to sing for the picture Gaslight.
Yes.
Every night I'm going to her house to teach her singing.
But Ingrid Bergman didn't sing in Gaslight. Why did you keep going to her house every night?
Silly boy.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
The Eddie Cantor Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from June 13th, 1945 on NBC. And that wraps it up for this hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.